This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Dr. Robert George of Princeton University, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, and others for the 2021 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Well, it's been a flurry of statements. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, not a full statement, but a draft approved by about 75% to address the issue of, well, pro-choice lawmakers, Catholic lawmakers, how they govern, how they rule, and whether or not they should be receiving the Eucharist in Catholic churches. That was met with a statement from 60 of the House of Representatives saying, well, we're Catholics and you can't tell us what to do, in essence. We're going to talk about the Eucharist and Catholic politicians. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Joining us is Congressman Dan Lipinski. He served 8 terms in the U.S. House of Representatives, and he's author of a recent column for First Things titled Catholic Politicians, Abortion, and the Eucharist. Congressman Lipinski, welcome.
It's good to be with you.
Tell us about the stark choice that you had to make as a Democratic U.S. Congressman.
Well, I was elected to Congress the first time in 2004, and I was very, honest, straightforward. I was pro-life, would always be pro-life, would vote that way in Congress. I knew it was a minority position in the Democratic Party, but there's still a lot of pro-life Democrats in office. But in the last 4 or 5 years, it has become much more difficult to be pro-life in the Democratic Party. I knew that I was, the choice that I had made 16 years earlier, choice that I had made much earlier in my life, that I understand that life in the womb must be protected. I wasn't going to change that. And I knew that that put me in jeopardy of losing a Democratic primary. I love being in Congress. It's an honor and privilege to be in Congress representing the 3rd District in Illinois, but I wasn't going to change my position on abortion to protect that. In 2018, I had a very tough Democratic primary. The abortion lobby spent about $3 million against me. I narrowly won that one. They came back against me at the same force or more in 2020. I had 5 Democratic presidential candidates endorse my opponent just based on that issue. I had local party officials come out against me, and I nearly lost that election. So I knew that it was a risk that I was taking, but that is it was never a question for me. But that's what you face in the Democratic Party right now, that not only can you not be pro-life and be an elected official, at least according to people in the party hierarchy, the abortion industry who provides so much funding for people in the Democratic Party, but you need to go along with the what has now become a very extreme abortion platform.
Why was it necessary for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to at least begin drafting a statement about pro-choice Catholic politicians and the Eucharist?
Well, it's really much more broad than that, the statement. And I think that's a misconception right now, that this is simply, and most of the mainstream media have said this is about Joe Biden. What this is about is a lot of Catholics need to be better catechized about the Eucharist and our belief in that is Jesus Christ. I mean, there was a poll, I think, said 70% of Catholics don't believe that. And so just starting there in what it means to receive Holy Communion for a Catholic is something that everyone, all Catholics, need to be taught more about, not just politicians. I wrote this piece for First Things, and I tell you, it really was helpful to me personally to go and read more. I looked at a statement that the American Catholic Bishops put out in 2006 about you need to be in a state of grace to receive Holy Communion, who should refrain from receiving Holy Communion. And I really thought and prayed a lot about this, and also thought about how I treat the Eucharist and Jesus Christ, you know, being present in the Eucharist and what that means to me. So this is for all Catholics, myself included, to help to teach all of us about the Catholic Church and what we believe about the Eucharist.
What was this recent statement of principles that was signed by 60 Catholic Democratic members of the House of Representatives in response to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops draft document?
Well, essentially, right after the bishops approved drafting a document, which has not yet been drafted yet, it'll be drafted over the coming months. It will be presented and voted on in November at the next bishop USCCB Catholic Bishops Conference meeting. So right after that vote occurred, 75% of the bishops said they should go ahead with that statement, that teaching statement. These 60 members of Congress put out what they call a statement of principles. Now, I'm not sure who wrote this. As a former member of Congress, I know how these things go. Someone writes it, usually not a member of Congress, someone on the outside, and then goes asking members to sign on to it. And some members read more closely than others do. So I'd be interested in knowing in who wrote this and who was really pushing to get members to sign on to this. But I'm sure there's a lot of Democratic members who saw this as, I better sign this because someone is watching, and I know what could happen if I'm not seen to be strong enough on the issue of abortion. And we see now it's gotten to a point where Catholic politicians need to support taxpayer funding for abortion in order to be supported by some of these big money groups that support Democratic politicians.
You say that statement of principles, as you mentioned before, demonstrates the poor catechesis of many American Catholics. How is that?
Well, as I said, a lot of American Catholics don't believe that is a real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. It's not just a symbol. And that's the most fundamental, first of all, belief for a Catholic about the Eucharist. And I understand that how difficult that is to believe. I mean, I say that it's hard for me to believe that, but I believe it because that's what I am taught to be true. And I know, look, I have two engineering degrees, I have a PhD in political science, but I know that there are things beyond this world and what I can see that are true. And it's hard for me sometimes, with the person who I am, but I believe it. So a lot of Catholics don't believe that fundamental belief. And if you don't believe that, then you're not treating the Eucharist and reception of Holy Communion with the awe and the reverence that you need to be. And so that is, that's sort of the most basic. And then from there, it's who is, when should you refrain from receiving Holy Communion? And when it comes to someone who is in public life, are you committing, allowing scandal by receiving Holy Communion when others know that you really are not eligible to receive Holy Communion? And those are all things that the Catholic bishops need to teach.
What do they, in particular, need to teach Catholic Americans regarding life?
Well, it's not just a policy position. The USCCB takes a lot of policy positions, whether it's on immigration or on the federal budget and funding for programs for food assistance for the poor. And those are matters of prudential judgment, what exactly the policy should be. But when it comes to abortion, legalized abortion, it is a doctrine of the Catholic Church that the child in the womb is a human being who deserves protection of the law. It's not that's not something that's negotiable. And so I think that is what, I know as a member of Congress, I had a lot of people, Catholics, even priests and religious, who I think try to confuse the understanding of what it means when the Catholic Church says no, abortion should not be legal. Again, it's not just a policy that they've come to some sort of decide to make some statement on. It is a doctrine of the Church and a belief that Catholics must have, must understand that is a child. And as I always say, I first believed it because I was taught when I was a child by the Church that is a life. But I know that science also shows that is a life and it must be protected.
How do you respond to the equivalence that some draw between, and it's certainly drawn there in this that statement of principles by those 60 congresspeople, the equivalence between abortion and failing to provide funding for programs for the hungry, etc.?
Well, we all know as Christians that we will be judged by what we have done for the least among us and feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. We know we'll be judged on that, but taking from there to take it to a definitive answer on how much money should the federal government be providing for food programs for the poor, that, again, that's prudential judgment. I mean, it is wrong, it is sinful to say, I don't care about the poor, I don't care about the hungry, but there is no definite answer on exactly the federal government, how much the federal government should do. And we can, good Catholics in good conscience can disagree on those issues when it comes to how much should be spent, what exactly immigration policy should be. But again, we're always challenged to understand that we need to take care of the poor, the hungry, the immigrants.
Pro-choice Catholic lawmakers would like the doctrine of the Church on life to change. What should they be attempting to change instead?
They should be working to change the party's doctrine. This is an issue that I'm very concerned about. I'm writing a book about this right now. I'll have an article coming out, I believe, probably later this year in November in America Magazine, where I talk about how our partisanship has become sectarian. It really, these are religions to many people now, and there are doctrines that each Republican Party and Democratic Party have that people are expected to follow. So the statement of principle reads as a statement that the Catholic Church should change its doctrine to match the Democratic Party, rather than what clearly should be the opposite of Democrats should be working to change the policy, the doctrine of the Democratic Party. Between a quarter and a third of Democratic voters in this country say that they are pro-life. It's not reflected in the leadership, and I think it's important for the pro-life movement that it's not just a one-party, a Republican Party issue.
Why do you recommend the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops 2006 document, Happy Are Those Who Are Called to His Supper?
I think it's a very good explanation of our belief as Catholics of the Eucharist in the reception of Holy Communion. I think that I'm not sure why this sort of they put this document out, and I've never heard that much about it, but have gone back to look at it. And I think that's a good starting point for the new teaching document that they are now putting together.
So finally, should a pro-choice Catholic politician present himself or herself for the Eucharist?
Well, I think everyone should go and look at that 2006 document, and it talks about who should refrain. It doesn't say that the Church is going to say that you cannot receive, but it is explained very clearly who should refrain, that you need to be in a state of grace, what that means in order to receive Holy Communion. And I think every Catholic should go and look at that.
Congressman Dan Lipinski served 8 terms in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's author of a recent column for First Things titled Catholic Politicians, Abortion, and the Eucharist. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Congressman Lipinski, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss a new poll on abortion attitudes with Dr. Michael New. Pastor Tom Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on an angel rescuing Peter in Acts chapter 12. And we'll continue our series through the Old Testament in a church here, talking with Dr. Ken Sherb about the prophet Elisha. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.